Hello everyone, my name is Elijah Davis, minister of the 12th Hour Apostolic Sabbatarian Congregation, Mount Zion at the Fell Down, Liberty Hill, Texas. Today is August 14, 2016, or it is Hebrews 12, 2020. We're going to start our first service, actually, on this first day of the week. The song that I've written back in 1993, whether I live or whether I die, matters not to me the reason why, as long as I've got a home in the sky waiting for me. Whether I live, whether I die, matters not to me the reason why, as long as I've got a home in the sky waiting for me. I can be content the red things are following my guiding star, leading me over distant far to that land beyond the sea. Whether you believe or whether you don't, some people will and some people won't. Some people have a hard time there getting through the day. If you only had a clue, they would know just what to do. They would discover a brand new life every way. Whether I live, whether I die, matters not to me the reason why, as long as I've got a home in the sky waiting for me. I can be content with the red tank following my guiding star, leading me over distant stars to that land beyond the sea. There's no better place to begin than where you're at now, my friend. Live a life that's free from sin, with a new world to begin. Then all is said and done, and a new world has begun. Praise Yah, hallelujah, world without end. Whether I live, whether I die, matters not to me the reason why. I've got a home in the sky waiting for me. I can be content the way things are, following my guiding star, leading me over distant stars to that land beyond the sea. Everlasting Kingdom of David, Part 1. Numbers chapter 24. And when Balaam saw that it pleased Yahweh to bless Israel, he went not as at other times to seek for the enchantments, but he set his face toward the wilderness. And Balaam lifted up his eyes, and he saw Israel abiding in his tents, according to their tribes, and the Spirit of Yahweh came upon him. And he took up this parable and said, Balaam, the son of Beor, has said, and the man whose eyes are open has said, he has said, which heard the words of Yahweh, who saw the vision of the Almighty, falling into a trance, but having his eyes open. How goodly are thy tents, O Jacob, and thy tabernacles, O Israel. As the valleys are they spread forth, as the garden by the riverside, as the trees of the ling aloes, which Yahweh hath planted, and as cedar trees beside the waters. He shall pour out the water out of his buckets, and his seed shall be in many waters, and his king shall be higher than Agag, and his kingdom shall be exalted. Okay, Elam brought him forth out of Egypt. He hath, as it were, the strength of an unicorn. He shall eat up the nations, his enemies, and shall break their bones and pierce them through with his arrows. Each house he lay down as a lion, and as a great lion, he shall stir him up. Blessed is he that blesses thee, and cursed is he that curses thee. And Balak's anger was kindled against Balaam, and he smote his hand together, and Balak said unto Balaam, I call thee to curse my enemies, and behold, thou hast altogether blessed them these three times. Therefore now see thou to thy face, I thought to promote thee unto great honor, but lo, the Yahweh hath kept thee back from honor. Isn't that wonderful? Yahweh has kept his prophet, true prophet, he has kept him back from receiving worldly honor. Because you know, Balaam didn't like that. He didn't like Yahweh keeping him back from getting that worldly honor, because recognition of the worldly honor would bring him great riches of this world. And that's what Balaam wanted. He wanted the riches that come with this honor, so to speak. Numbers 24:12. And Balaam said unto Balaam, Spake thou not also unto thy messengers which thou sentest unto me, saying, If Balak would give me his house full of silver and gold, I cannot go beyond the commandment of Yahweh to do either good or bad of my own mind. But what the Yahweh said, that will I speak. And now behold, I go unto my people. Come therefore, and I will advertise thee what this people shall do unto thy people in the latter days. And he took up his parable and said, Balaam the son of Beor has said, and the man whose eyes are open has said. He has said, which heard the words of Yahweh, and knew the knowledge of the Most High, which saw the vision of the Almighty, falling into a trance of having his eyes open. I shall see him, but not now. I shall behold him, but not now. There shall come a star out of Jacob, and a scepter shall rise out of Israel, and shall smite the corners of Moab, and destroy all the children of Sheth. And Edom shall be a possession. Seirah also shall be a possession. For his enemies in Israel shall do violently. So true Israel is going to do violently. Whenever they are brought to the forefront, and Yahweh has put his blessing on them above all nations, then they will automatically do violently. Numbers 24:19. Out of Jacob shall come he that shall have dominion, and shall destroy him that remaineth of the city. So this is fulfillment starting in 2002 at the term of Texas. For out of Jacob came he, and that would be Yeshua, that shall have dominion, and shall destroy him, the false prophet, that Gilead sent in 2002, that remaineth of the city. And what city is that? The city of Gilead. Doesn't get much plainer than that, though. So when he looked on Amalek, he took up his parable and said, Amalek was the first of the nations. But his latter end shall be that he perish forever. And he left on the Kenites and took up his parable and said, Strong is thy dwelling place, and thou puttest thy nest in a rock. Nevertheless, the Kenites shall be wasted until Ashur shall carry thee away captive. He took up his parable and said, Alas, who shall live when Elohim doeth this. And ships shall come from the coast of Chittim, and shall afflict Asher, and shall afflict Eber, and he also shall perish forever. And Balaam rose up and went and returned unto his place, and Balak also went his way. Okay, let's have a review now, a little bit of what we just read here in Numbers chapter 24. Let's go to verse 7 again. And he shall pour out the water, he shall pour the water out of his buckets, and his seed shall be in many waters, and his king shall be higher than Agag, and his kingdom shall be exalted. And so let's read verse 1 through 7 again in Numbers chapter 24 and kind of get more of a picture of what we're talking about here. And when Balaam saw that it pleased Yahweh to bless Israel, he went not as at other times to seek for enchantment, but he set his face toward the wilderness. And Balaam lifted up his eyes, and he saw Israel abiding in his tents according to their tribe. And the Spirit of Yahweh came upon him, and he took up his parable and said, Balaam, the son of Beor, has said, and the man whose eyes are open has said. He has said, which heard the words of Yahweh, which saw the vision of the Almighty, falling into a trance, and having his eyes open. How goodly are thy tents, O Jacob, and thy tabernacles, O Israel! As the valleys are they spread forth as gardens by the river's side, as the trees of ling aloes which the Yahweh hath planted, and as cedar trees beside the waters. He shall pour the water out of his buckets, and his seed shall be in many waters, and his king shall be higher than Agag, and his kingdom shall be exalted. Now, who was Agag? Agag was that king that came of the Agagites that came out against Israel when she was coming up out of the wilderness and was trailing along the wilderness, and Agag would get in at the very tail end of Israel's train of people, and he would fall upon the poor people that was in the very end of the line where they didn't have much defense, and he would kill them. And Yahweh told King Saul, says, you go and your first battle is going to be against Agag, and don't you leave one of them left breathing. And Saul, he went and saved Agag of all things, and he saved the best of the cattle, but he killed the people. Now he killed the men and women and children and all the cattle. No. Some of the cattle, but he saved the best for sacrifices. And Samuel come along and he said to King Saul, he said, about you have not obeyed the command of Yahweh to destroy all that is breathing. And Saul made excuse. And Yahweh told him, he said, Yahweh has chosen and your neighbor, which is better than you, to be king over Israel, and that was David. Now, this is who he's talking about here. This here, about this king that shall come. He said, I gotta find it here again. Okay, and verse 7. He shall pour out the water. Shall pour the water out of his buckets, and his seed shall be in many waters, and his king shall be higher than Agag. Okay, King Saul was higher than Agag, but since he didn't destroy Agag, then Agag was higher than him. And so your son will come along, and he destroyed Agag right before Saul's eyes and told King Saul that Yahweh has rejected him from being king over Israel and has chosen your neighbor, which is better than you, to be the king, and that was King David. And this is the king he's talking about. And his king shall be higher than Agag, and his kingdom shall be exalted. this is talking about David's kingdom. All right, now let's go to 2 Samuel 5:12, and let's read about this kingdom that is to be exalted. It says that, and David perceived that the Yahweh had established him king over Israel, and that he had exalted his kingdom for his people Israel's sake. Okay. Now let's go to 2 Chronicles chapter 14, verse 1 and 2. Now Hiram, king of Tyre, sent messengers unto David and timber of cedars with masons and carpenters to build him a house. And David perceived that the Yahweh had confirmed him king over Israel, for his kingdom was lifted up on high because of his people Israel. Okay, so David perceived that his kingdom had been lifted up on high. And that was his kingdom that, over in Numbers 24:7, that Balaam saw in vision in the last days. Because this kingdom is talked more about here in Numbers 24:17. It says that, I shall see him, but not now. I shall behold him, but not now. There shall come a star out of Jacob, and a scepter shall rise out of Israel, and shall smite the corners of Moab, and destroy all the children of Seth. And Edom shall be a possession, Seir also shall be a possession for his enemy, and Israel shall do valiantly. Out of Jacob shall come he that shall have dominion, and shall destroy him that remaineth of the city. Okay, so I told you earlier what that meant. It says, out of Jacob shall come he that shall have dominion. Well, David comes out of Jacob, and Yeshua comes out of David. In that order, David the rod and Yeshua the branch is coming out of this prophecy that here in Numbers 24 by Balaam. So anyway, it goes on to say that in verse 20 of Numbers 24, it says, and when he looked on Amalek, he took up his parable and said, Amalek was the first of the nation, but his latter end shall be that he perish forever. And he looked on the Kenites and took up this parable. He said, strong is thy dwelling place, and thou puttest thy nest in a rock. Nevertheless, the Kenites shall be wasted, until Asher shall carry thee away captive. And he took up his parable and said, alas, who shall live when Elohim doeth this? And ships shall come from the coast of Chittim, and shall afflict Asher, and shall afflict Eber, and he also shall perish forever. And Balaam rose up and went and returned to his place, and Balak also went his way. Okay, so we're having this here everlasting kingdom of David that is to be exalted in the earth. And now let's go to some more scriptures on this here kingdom of David. Let's look at let's go first to this here Ensign, E-S-E-N-S-I-G-N. It's in Numbers 2, chapter 2, verse 2. Every man of the children of Israel shall pitch by his own standard, with the ensign of their father's house far off, about the tabernacle of the congregation they shall pitch. Isaiah 5:26. And he shall lift up an ensign unto the nations from far, and will hiss unto them from the end of the earth. And behold, they shall come with speed swiftly. Isaiah 11:10. And in that day there shall be a root of Jesse, which shall stand for an ensign of the people. So Jesse represents the house of Israel, 12 tribes collectively. He's the father of David. David represents the two tribes, Judah and Benjamin, and that's the lawgiver. This is where the scepter comes from, and the scepter represents the root of Jesse, which is the rod. This is the root of Jesse, and the branches of the root of the rod, in that order. So it says, in that day there shall be a root of Jesse, which shall stand for an ensign of the people. And it shall the Gentiles seek, and his rest shall be glorious. And he shall set up an ensign for the nations, as that's in Isaiah 11:12, and shall assemble the outcast of Israel, and gather together the dispersed of Judah from the four corners of the earth. That's the lawgiver. So Judah has been dispersed. They were dispersed second. The ten tribes were dispersed first, about 121 years apart. Isaiah 18:3, and ye inhabitants of the world and dwellers on the earth, see ye when he lifted up an ensign on the mountain, and when he bloweth a trumpet, hear ye. Isaiah 30:17. 1,000 shall flee at the rebuke of one, at the rebuke of five shall ye flee, shall ye be left as a beacon upon the top of a mountain, and as an ensign on a hill. Isaiah 31:9, and he shall pass over to his stronghold for fear of his princes shall be afraid of the ensign, saith Yahweh, whose fire is in Zion and his furnace in Jerusalem. Zechariah 9:16, and Yahweh the Elohim shall save them in that day as a flock of his people. They shall be as the stones of a crown lifted up as an ensign upon his land. And therefore they say, shall save them in that day as a flock of his people, for they shall be as the stones of a crown lifted up as an ensign upon his land. In other words, set up a flag. This is going to be the national flag for Israel. It's going to have the Star of David on it. It's going to have the Lion of the Tribe of Judah on it, showing where the House of David is put together with the House of Yahshua. Yahshua representing the Lion, or is represented by the symbol of the Lion, and the Star of David represents David and his kingdom. Put the two together, and you have an invincible rock. That's the foundation laid in for this everlasting kingdom of heaven to be set upon, and Yahshua comes with his ensign. Okay, so now. Let's go to back to this kingdom of David. Now in 1 Samuel 28:17, and Yahweh hath done unto him as he spake by me, for Yahweh hath rent the kingdom out of thy hand and given it unto thy neighbor, even unto David. Now this is the same expression used, and Yahweh used this verse right here to duplicate what Samuel used on King Saul. He told him that Yahweh hath rent the kingdom out of thine hand. 2002, the same verse is used for verse W. Johnson. Yahweh hath rent the kingdom out of thine hand and given it unto thy neighbor. And I was indeed his neighbor for 20 years there in Kermit, Texas. I was Willis Johnson's neighbor. Okay, 2 Samuel 3:10. To translate the kingdom from the house of Saul and to set up the throne of David over Israel and over Judah from Dan even unto Beersheba, covering the 12 tribes. 2 Samuel 3:28, and afterwards when David heard it, he said, I and my kingdom are guiltless because of Yahweh, before the Yahweh, for he forever from the blood of Abner, the son of Ner. 1 Kings 2:12. Then sat Solomon upon the throne of David, his father, and his kingdom was established greatly. Now notice it didn't say that King Solomon's kingdom was established forever, which is the kingdom that the throne that he was sitting upon and was in the kingdom of his father David. It had already been stated that David's kingdom stands forever. But it simply means when Solomon sat upon the throne of David, his kingdom was established greatly. It's talking about Solomon's kingdom, because he only had a 40-year period to establish and reign over his kingdom in the throne of David. But keep in mind, all these kings that sit upon the David throne was only ruling temporally for themselves until their time was up. It's the everlasting kingdom of David, but it's their temporal kingdom upon that throne. That Solomon was established greatly. 1 Kings 9:5. Then I will establish the throne of thy kingdom upon Israel forever, as I promised unto David, my father, saying, there shall not fail thee a man upon the throne of Israel. Now, what was the promise made to Solomon? Let's read 1 Kings 9. Let's start with first verse. And it came to pass when Solomon had finished building of the house of Yahweh and the king's house and all Solomon's desire, which he was pleased to do, that the Yahweh appeared unto Solomon a second time, as he had appeared unto him at Gibeon. The Yahweh said unto him, I have heard thy prayer and thy supplication that thou hast made before me. I have hallowed this house which thou hast built, so put my name there forever, and mine eyes and mine heart shall be there perpetually. And if thou wilt walk now, and if thou wilt walk before me, as David thy father walked, and in the integrity of heart, and in the uprightness to do according to all that I have commanded thee, and will keep my statutes and my judgments, then I will establish the throne of thy kingdom upon Israel forever, as I promised to David thy father, saying, there shall not fail thee a man upon the throne of Israel. So, Yahweh renewed his covenant with King Solomon. He said, now, I'll allow your throne to be established forever, providing that you walk before me as David thy father walked. That was our own condition now. This is a preconditional contract that Yahshua made with Solomon. But we know Solomon did not continue to walk before Yahweh as David his father did, and you know what happened to him. When his 40 years was up, he didn't have a decent son to follow him to rule over the 12 tribes of Israel. So what did Yahweh do? He brought Solomon to an end, put a curse upon the end of his kingdom. 40 years earlier, Yahweh had put the blessing upon it and exalted it unto heaven and said that this kingdom will stand forever if you will walk in my ways as David thy father walked, in the integrity of heart and in the uprightness, and do according to all that I have commanded thee, and will keep thy statutes and thy judgments. What does Samuel tell King Saul? He said, if you will do everything that Yahweh commands you, all the statutes and judgments, that he'll establish your throne forever. No, your kingdom forever. He'll establish your kingdom forever. He said, all you got to do is be obedient to all I command you, and I'll establish your kingdom forever. That's what he's telling King David here. Be obedient unto everything that I command you, and I'll establish thy kingdom forever. But if you don't, I'll take it away from you and give it to somebody else better than you, because this is an everlasting covenant that is made with this everlasting kingdom of heaven. that is being set up here, been set up here on this earth, had already been set up with David, and it has stood until the test of time, even carried down here to the 12th third hour. But I will have someone that will walk in the integrity of the heart and the uprightness to do according to all that I've commanded thee. So, it's just, this tells us an awful lot about this everlasting kingdom of heaven, how it is put in a trust in the hands of men here on earth. And the reason why he set up the kingdom here on earth, to emulate the kingdom of heaven, because of what was in David's heart. It was in David's heart to build a house to live in when he comes to this earth, have a place to stay when he comes. Okay. 1 Kings 11:34. Howbeit, I will not take the whole kingdom out of his hand, but I will make him prince all the days of his life, for David my servant's sake, whom I chose because he kept my commandments and my statutes. 1 Kings 12:26. And Jeroboam said in his heart, now shall the kingdom return to the house of David. Now Jeroboam, the king over the 10 tribes, and he didn't want the kingdom of the 10 tribes in the north to be returned unto the house of David. It's already, the two kingdoms had already been subjugated, separated after Solomon's death. Jeroboam is the king of the 10 tribes in the north, and he liked their freedom. He liked the liberality. They can make them their own gods. They can pour an image of one. They can make a couple of golden gods that don't see or breathe or hear or smell. Somebody, if they can dictate to them how they want to live. And those gods won't ever answer back and do anything to them. And so, but David's kingdom wasn't like that. Jeroboam, the king of Judah, says, no. You want to come and join me, you're going to have to live up to all the statutes and judgments of the everlasting kingdom that is of heaven here. Nothing at all. And Jeroboam said, I think I'll just go back north, and I think I'll set up my gods up there, and I think I'll just remain separate from you, Judah. And he did. So in 1 Kings 14:8 it says, and rent the kingdom away from the house of David, and gave it to thee, and yet thou hast not been as my servant David, who kept my commandments, and who followed me with all his heart, to do that only which is right in mine eyes. 1 Chronicles 10:14, and in part, not of the Yahweh. Therefore he slew him and turned the kingdom unto David, the son of Jesse. So who did he slay? He slew King Saul. Yahweh took the credit for slaying King Saul. David's men, at different opportune times, wanted David to slay his enemy, King Saul. And David says, no, I won't touch the Yahweh's anointed. You know, he is mine enemies, and he has slipped into a cave where I've been hiding from him, and here he is right here in the place where I'm hiding. He doesn't know I'm in here. He'd come in here and lay down to take a little rest and sleep, because he's so tired and worried from having chased me to take my life. And yet Yahweh has delivered him into my hands right here in this very cave where I'm abiding. And his men urged him to smite him and forever be rid of this here, his greatest enemy. David said, I'll not do such a thing. He said, this is a Yahweh's, this is for him to do at his appointed time, not me. And so, and David inquired not of Yahweh, therefore he slew him. And inquired not of Yahweh, therefore Yahweh slew King Saul and turned the kingdom unto David, the son of Jesse. So give let Yahweh in his own time, in his own way, take care of business. He's doing that in the earth today with all the kingdoms of the world. He's bringing them all to judgment. And they're feeling every bit of it. 1 Chronicles 11:10. He's also of the chief of the mighty men, whom David had, who strengthened himself with him in his kingdom and with all Israel, to make him king, according to the will of Yahweh and concerning Israel. 1 Chronicles 4:23. And these are the numbers of that band that were ready armed to the war, and came unto David to Hebron, to turn the kingdom of Saul unto him according to the word of Yahweh. 1 Chronicles 14:2. And David perceived that the Yahweh had confirmed him king over Israel, for his kingdom was lifted up on high because of his people Israel. 2 Chronicles 1:1. And Solomon the son of David was strengthened in his kingdom, and the Yahweh his Elohim was with him and magnified him exceedingly. So you make a covenant with Yahweh, and he will keep his word. He'll do exactly right what he says he'll do. 2 Chronicles 2:12. Huram said, "Moreover, blessed be the Yahweh, Elohim of Israel, that made heaven and earth, who hath given unto David the king a wise son imbued with prudence and understanding, that might build an house for the Yahweh and an house for his kingdom." 2 Chronicles 7:18. Then will I establish the throne of thy kingdom, according as I have covenanted with David thy father, saying, "There shall not fail thee a man to be ruler in Israel upon the throne of David." Even though they weren't all righteous, upright men that succeeded each other upon the throne of David, but nevertheless they did it. And just like Ben Roden, 1970, he had himself crowned antithetical King David. Well, Yahweh was showing that his covenant stands forever. Whenever he makes a covenant, that he does not fail thee a man to sit upon the throne of David. All Yahweh was showing there through Ben Roden was that he is a man occupying the throne of David. He knew it not necessarily. But Ben Roden seemed to know it, because he had himself crowned King David, Antipas King David, on that throne. And so Brother Johnson repudiated it, though. He said, that he's a usurper. Yahshua is the only one that's going to come and sit upon the throne of David. Brother Johnson never did see this Antipas David literally as a prophet in the spirit and power of the Elijah. He just saw him as a usurper because of Ben Roden. 2 Chronicles 11:17. So they strengthened the kingdom of Judah and made Rehoboam the son of Solomon strong. For 3 years they walked in the way of David and Solomon. 2 Chronicles 13:5. Ought you not to know that the Yahweh, Elohim of Israel, gave the kingdom over Israel unto David forever, even to him and unto his son, by a covenant of salt? 2 Chronicles 13:8. And now ye think to withstand the kingdom of the Yahweh and the hand of the sons of David, and ye be a great multitude, and there are with you calves which Jeroboam made useful gods. Of the increase of his government and peace, there shall be no end upon the throne of David and upon his kingdom, to order it and to establish it with judgment and with justice from henceforth even forever. The seed of Yahshua of hosts will perform this. Mark 11:10. Blessed be the kingdom of our father David that cometh in the name of the Yahshua. Hosanna in the highest. That says it as plain as it can be said, to describe this joint venture of Yahshua, the King of Kings and the Sovereign of Sovereigns, that has paid the greatest price that can be paid here on this earth for the redemption of mankind, and indeed he has done that, and he has earned the right to be honored and to be exalted and to be worshipped as the highest in the heavens from this earth. For he is the highest, And it's a joint effort between his kingdom and the kingdom of David. They are joined together. This is amazing. Yahshua represents the kingdom of Judah. David represents the kingdom of Judah. And this David is told to take two sticks and join them together, representing the two great kingdoms of Israel, 10 tribes in the north and 2 in the south. And so there you have it, just being established here in the last days. And when this everlasting kingdom of heaven shows up visually one day in the very near future, you will know then that these two sticks have been successfully joined together into one great kingdom here on earth. And Yahshua, along with his underservant, David, is going to be sitting upon the throne of David in the house of Yahweh, in the great everlasting kingdom of heaven that has already come down and fulfilled the prophecy there in Luke 17:20. For the kingdom cometh not with the observation, but the kingdom of Yahweh is within you. Well, we've been rocking along here pretty good with this everlasting kingdom of David. Now let's go see what more we can find on that. Now we're going to go to the key words, everlasting kingdom. And we're going to go to Psalms 145. We're going to read the whole chapter and see what we come up with. Psalms 145. And it says, I will extol thee, my Elohim, okay, O King. Now, he's actually, David has been introduced to Yahshua, his Savior, and he's so enamored with him that he has met the Son of Yahweh, that the Son of Yahweh has been sent to be David's teacher, his mentor, everything that he needs to be his companion on a daily basis. And so David is so happy with this situation. He declares here in Psalms 145, verse 1, I will extol thee, my Savior, Yahshua, O King, and I will bless thy name forever and ever. So whose name are we to bless forever and ever? Our Savior, Yahshua, the Messiah. And it goes on to say in verse 2, every day will I bless thee, and I will praise thy name forever and ever. Great is the Yahweh, and that's got all uppercase here. Okay, so great is the Father. And greatly to be praised, and his greatness is unsearchable. One generation shall praise thy works unto another, and shall declare thy mighty acts. I will speak of the glorious honor of thy majesty and of thy wondrous works. And then shall speak of the might of thy terrible acts, and I will declare thy greatness. They shall abundantly utter the memory of thy great goodness, and shall sing of thy righteousness. For the Yahweh is gracious and full of compassion, slow to anger, and of great mercy. For the Yahweh is good unto all, and his tender mercies are over all his works. All thy works shall praise thee, O Yahweh, and thy saints shall bless thee. They shall speak of the glory of thy kingdom and talk of thy power. They make known unto the sons of men his mighty acts and the glorious majesty of his kingdom. Thy kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and thy dominion endureth throughout all generations. For Yahweh upholdeth all that fall and raiseth up all those that be bowed down. For the eyes of all wait upon thee, and thou givest them their meat in due season. Okay, all your preordained servants that he chooses to be the head of his kingdom, and their appointed times, he gives them their meat in due season. That's what he's given me today. I didn't have a clue what I was supposed to give this morning. Don't need to, because the Holy Spirit is here to guide me. Psalm 145, verse 16. Thou openest thine hand and satisfy the desire of every living thing. Every living thing. And I marvel when I see the videos on these animals that they do, showing, for instance, in Africa, the honey badger. He's just a lowly little land animal, insignificant, but he's quite a tough character. I mean, he's not afraid of anything that walketh upon the earth. And nothing fazes him. He can run into the most poisonous snake on the earth, and he just takes and just goes right straight at him. And he'll just, that snake knows that badger's not afraid of him, and he'll take off and he'll climb trees and he'll just run, and everywhere he can, that badger will follow him wherever he goes, chases him out of the top of trees, drops him down on the ground, the badger comes down, he goes, gets him, and he destroys him and takes him and eats him for his meal. And the poison will put the badger to sleep for a couple of hours, but it don't kill him. He wakes up and he goes right back to his meal. And he just keeps on looking for food. He'll come to a beehive, thousands of bees, and he just tears into their beehives, and he just goes and eats all the honey he can eat. And the bees are just all over him, just trying to sting him for all he's worth, and they don't faze him. He just eats up all the honey, and he'll eat them if they don't get out of the way. And he goes on, and he'll find a den of foxes. And if they don't have an escape route out of their den, he goes in and destroys everything that's inside the den. And the mama fox cannot do a thing about it. Nothing can protect her loved ones from her little young offspring from him. He's just the toughest thing that's ever walked in Africa. And he has to be, otherwise he couldn't survive. He's too small of an animal. I mean, the tigers and the lions, they all avoid him. I mean, they don't, none of them try to bother him. The eagle that flies, that kills almost anything on the ground that's small like that, they don't dare touch the badger. Well, that badger grabbed anything and lay a hold of it. A big old lion or a tiger or a wolf or those wild dogs. Hyenas, they can attack him. Two hyenas one day attacked this here badger. And I mean, they just grabbed him, boy, by his rear end, and they had him just spin him through the air. And I mean, they was just going after him right and left. And as soon as that badger hit the ground, he turned on one hyena, and boy, he bit him one time, and that hyena had enough of that, and the other hyena says, well, I'll try to do something, and he bit that hyena. Next thing you know, those two hyenas is both running, leaving him alone, and he's just going on about his business. Don't make no difference. So this is the way Yahweh makes us. He makes us invulnerable to our deadliest enemies, no matter how large or small they are, no matter how many they are. He makes us like the honey badger. We are just invulnerable to anything out there. Psalm 145:17. Yahweh is righteous in all his ways and holy in all his works. Psalm 145:18. Yahweh is nigh unto them that call upon him, to all that call upon him in the truth. Now, did you get that? The Yahweh, the Father, is nigh unto all them that call upon him, to all that call upon him in the truth. Now, we've had a terrible drought out here in Texas. A heat wave, unprecedented in I don't know how many years. It's the hottest I've ever had a summer. But it was on a new moon Sabbath, the last time before last, I believe. it was on a Sabbath day, and the new moon is on a Sunday. And I prayed for Yahweh to send us a blessing for this Sabbath. We need the rain. We need the rain. And lo and behold, it just came a big rain on the Sabbath afternoon. The left star of our praise and threw us off. And then after that was over with, we ran back into the heat wave again. And here just yesterday, on the Sabbath, I've been praying all through the weeks, Yahweh sent us the rain, and all the time that I knew that if He sent us the rain, it would be on the Sabbath. And lo and behold, He sent us the rain upon the Sabbath that we just finished yesterday evening. And He blessed us again with cool weather, and He cooled everything down and watered everything. And we still got the cool clouds today, and we got more rain up. That is forecasted for us. So Yahweh says, He is nigh unto all them that call upon Him, to all that call upon Him in the truth. Psalm 145:19, He will fulfill the desire of them that fear Him. He also will hear their cry and will save them. Yahweh preserves all them that love Him, but all the wicked will He destroy. Now you get this? What does preserve mean? It means something that you put up with a preservative. And you can put it up and can it, and you can keep it for years even. That's what Yahweh does. He preserves all of them that love Him. What does it say in Proverbs? I love those that love me. What does it say here in Psalm 145:20? I love them that love me. I'll preserve them. But all the wicked will be He destroyed. Okay. My mouth shall speak the praise of the Yahweh, and let all flesh bless His holy name forever and ever. Okay, now that's very good information from our ancient brother King David. Then I said in Daniel chapter 4, let's go read it. It says, Nebuchadnezzar, the king unto all people, nations, and languages that dwell in all the earth, peace be multiplied on you. I thought it good to show the signs and wonders that the high Elohim hath wrought toward me. How great are His signs, and how mighty are His wonders. His kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and His dominion is from generation to generation. I am Nebuchadnezzar at rest in mine house, and flourishing in my palace. I saw a dream which made me afraid, and the thoughts upon my bed, and the visions of my head troubled me. Therefore made I a decree to bring all the wise men of Babylon before me, that they might make known unto me the interpretation of the dream. Then came in the magicians, the astrologers, the Chaldeans, and the soothsayers, and I told the dream before them, but they did not make known unto me the interpretation thereof. But at the last, Daniel came in before me, whose name was Belshazzar, according to the name of my Elohim, and in whom is the Spirit of the Holy God. And before him I told the dream, saying, O Belshazzar, master of the magicians, because I know that the Spirit of the Holy God is in thee, and no secret troubleth thee, tell me the vision of my dream that I have seen, and the interpretation thereof. Thus were the vision of mine head in my bed. I saw and behold a tree in the midst of the earth, and the height thereof was great. The tree grew, and it was ever strong, and the height thereof reached unto heaven, and the sight thereof to the end of all the earth. The leaves thereof were fair, and the fruit thereof much, and it was meat for all. The beasts of the field had shadow under it, and the fowls of the heaven dwelt in the bowels thereof, and all the flesh was fed of it. I saw in the visions of my head upon my bed, and behold, a watchman and the Holy One came down from heaven. He cried aloud and said thus, hew down the tree, and cut off his branches, shake off his leaves, and scatter his fruit, that the beast get away from under and the flowers from his branches. Nevertheless, leave the stump and his roots in the earth, even with the band of iron and brass in the tender grass of the field. And let it be wet with the dew of heaven, and let his portion be with the beast in the grass of the earth. Let his heart be changed from man's hearts, and let a beast's heart be given unto him, and let seven times pass over him. This matter is by the decree of the watchers, and the demand by the word of the holy ones, to the intent that the living may know that the Most High ruleth in the kingdom of men, and giveth it unto whomsoever he will, and setteth up over it the basis of men. Now what is this telling us? This matter is by the decree of the watchers and the demand by the word of the holy ones, unto the intent that the living may know that the Most High ruleth in the kingdom of men. Alright, so Nebuchadnezzar had a kingdom, and Daniel was telling him, he said, Yahweh's going to send you out to pasture for 7 years, and you're going to grow feathers and hair like the beast, and you're going to let you're going to have a beast heart given unto you, and you're going to be under the canopy of heaven with the rest of the beasts of the field, and you're going to eat of the field like the animals do for 7 years until 7 times pass over you, until you understand that who is the ruler of the kingdom of this earth. And so Nebuchadnezzar, he learned his lesson. This dream our king Nebuchadnezzar has seen. Now, thou, O Belteshazzar, declare the interpretation of it, talking to Daniel, forasmuch as all the wise men of my kingdom are not able to make known unto me the interpretation, but thou art able, for the spirit of the holy gods is in thee. So Nebuchadnezzar knew. Then Daniel, whose name is Belteshazzar, was astonished for an hour, and his thoughts troubled him. The king spake and said, Belteshazzar, let not the dream or the interpretation of trouble thee. Belteshazzar answered and said, my master, the dream be unto them that hate thee, and the interpretation thereof to thine enemies. The tree thou sawest is green and strong, whose height reached unto the heaven, and the sight thereof unto all the earth, whose leaves were fair, and the fruit thereof much, and in it was meat for all, under which the beast of the field dwelt, and upon whose branches the fowls of heaven had their habitation. It is thou, O king, thou art grown and become strong, for thy greatness is grown and reaches unto heaven, and thy dominion unto the end of the earth. Now see, this tree represents the king of Babylon, and his kingdom represented Babylon. That was the greatest kingdom that ruled over all the earth at one time. And Nebuchadnezzar was this king of ruling over all the earth. And whereas the king saw a watcher and the Holy One coming down from heaven, saying, hew the tree down and destroy it, yet leave the stump of the roots thereof in the earth, even with a band of iron and brass in the tender grass of the field, and let it be wet with the dew of heaven, and let his portion be with the beasts of the field till 7 times pass over him. This is the interpretation, O king, and this is the decree of the Most High, which has come upon my master the king, that they shall drive thee from men, and thy dwelling shall be with the beasts of the field, and they shall make thee to eat grass as oxen, and they shall wet thee with the dew of heaven, and 7 times shall pass over thee, till thou know that the Most High ruleth in the kingdom of men, and giveth it unto whomsoever he will. And whereas they commanded to leave the stump of the tree roots, thy kingdom shall be sure unto thee, after that thou shalt have known that the heavens do rule. Wherefore, O king, let thy counsel be acceptable unto thee, and break off thy sins by righteousness, and thine iniquities by showing mercy unto the poor, if it may be a lengthening of thy tranquility. All this came from the king of Nebuchadnezzar. At the end of 12 months, he walked in the palace of the king of Babylon. So the king's days were only lengthened 1 year, and his tranquility stayed with him. He had a 1 year lengthening of his tranquility of being the king over all the earth, having that vision interpreted to him, confirming in Daniel 4 there that his kingdom was had reached all over the earth. Daniel 4:30. The king spake and said, "Is not this great Babylon that I have built for the house of the kingdom by the might of my power and for the honor of my majesty?" While the word was in the king's mouth, there fell a voice from heaven saying, "O King Nebuchadnezzar, unto thee it is spoken, thy the kingdom is departed from thee." Just that quick. "And they shall drive thee from men, and thy dwelling shall be at the beast of the field. They shall make thee to eat grass as oxen, and seven times shall pass over thee until thou know that the Most High ruleth in the kingdom of men, and giveth it unto whomsoever he will." Now King Nebuchadnezzar had 1 year warning that this would happen to him if he did not change his spirit about his self-exaltation, taking the glory to himself. That by his own power he was able to accomplish all this stuff. He had 1 year. He had a lengthening of his tranquility for 1 year to be this great king, to observe and take it to heart what Daniel had showed him a year earlier. The same hour was the thing fulfilled upon Nebuchadnezzar, and he was driven from men and did eat grass as oxen, and his body was wet with the dew of heaven till his hairs were grown with black eagles, feathers and his nails like bird claws. At the end of the days I, Nebuchadnezzar, lifted up mine eyes unto heaven, and mine understanding returned unto me, and I blessed the Most High, and I praised and honored him that liveth forever. His dominion is an everlasting dominion, and his kingdom is from generation to generation. And we represent one of those generations of the kingdom of heaven. And all the inhabitants of the earth are reputed as nothing, and he doeth according to his will in the army of heaven and among the inhabitants of the earth, and none can stay his hand or say unto him, "What doest thou?" At the same time my reason returned unto me, and for the glory of my kingdom, this Nebuchadnezzar talking, mine honor and brightness returned unto me, and my counselors and my lords sought unto me, and I was established in my kingdom, and excellent majesty was added unto me. Now I, Nebuchadnezzar, praise and extol and honor the King of heaven, whose works are truth, and his ways judgment, and those that walk in pride he is able to abase. This friend, the friend of us, definitely our contact us at the 11th hour call, and number 11 click on our audio archive. We're going to close now with a song. Wonder of wonder, in heaven I see heavenly lights shining all around me. Glory of glory in heaven is found, matchless love from heaven come down. Written by Elijah Davis. Let me tell you a story about a long time ago, of a prophecy made for the future to unfold, about a man named Joshua who came to his own, to live and to die and to reign on his throne. Glory in heaven is found, O matchless love from heaven come down. He was a man who walked among men, he showed deliverance from manner of sin. He touched the heartstrings of men where they live, an erring judgment he a thousand forbid. Wonder of wonder in heaven I see, heavenly light shining all around me. Glory of glory in heaven is found, O matchless love from heaven come down. Just love from heaven.